When Dennis was born, it was... I was shocked, to be honest.
You were not.
I'm being honest now with the man. I was shocked. I mean, I love Dennis. Like a son, but...
He is your son.
And isn't that what I'm after saying?
Dennis used to say... He used to say that you can't escape your birth.
Catherine was always putting words in his mouth. I wouldn't trust a word comes out of her.
He's my son and I love him, but I was shocked when he was born. It was a big... Oh, you were too.
I was not.
You were.
We were doing the IVF anyway.
We wanted another child. And...
We weren't getting any younger.
We've been through the process before.
And it had worked very well.
All our children are healthy, thank God.
Yeah. I hope so.
Sorry.
And everything was the exact same. The embryos were all fine.
The clinic scanned the embryos and they knew what we wanted.
No diseases and...
Well, you can scan for so much now.
Well, we're dwarfs, so...
We wanted all our family to be dwarfs.
And I don't know what happened.
No one seems to know. We wanted the child we wanted. Maybe that was our fault.
There was no fault. Dennis was perfect. The most perfect child.
Someone had slipped up somewhere.
Donal.
I'm just explaining how things went.
What are you...
Lots of our friends had the same procedure. It makes sense.
Donal.
Genetically, we're all 99.9% the same. That's such a small amount of difference. We're all 23 pairs... of chromosomes, one from the father, one from the mother.
Ah, yeah, Dennis was the odd one out. Yeah, you could say that. The rest of us were dwarves, and Dennis was an average height. He stood out at home, and the rest of us stood out everywhere else. We'd all be a bit more down-to-earth and a bit scrappier. Dennis was into his books and music, and the rest of us were very busy fighting and, well, defending ourselves because we were dwarves. Being picked on can make you a bit aggressive at times, whereas Dennis was protected from that. I don't think he got into a fight in his life. Mainly because everyone knew I'd boxed the head off the other fella. Do you know what I mean? I was his older brother. I wouldn't be having that.
I suppose I might have mollycoddled Dennis a little bit because he was... I wanted to show him that we still wanted him even though he wasn't one of us. I don't mean that in a bad way.
Of course you don't, for God's sake.
He was just like the others in so many ways.
He was.
He still needed his nappy changed and his bottles.
He still cried for his mammy.
And his daddy.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Pre-implantation diagnosis is simply screening embryos before they are implanted in the womb. It's becoming more and more sophisticated each year. You can screen for the sex of the baby. You can screen for genetic diseases. You can even screen for a disability.
With some of the other kids, we had used this process, and it meant that they were small too. They were like us.
It's so they were part of our culture. They were dwarfs.
And Dennis, something went wrong there. And...
You got so big for me so quickly. It was lucky he was gentle. I mean, Sinead and Brian were gentle too, but Seamus and the other lads were...
No, they were noisy and boisterous. They were boys.
But Dennis was, apart from being tall, he was...
I don't know where he got his height from, I really don't.
He was into music from a very young age, and none of us were musical.
Well, that's not strictly true now. Your auntie Noreen played the guitar.
Well, I suppose that's true, but we encouraged him.
We did. We bought that bloody piano.
We did. Best investment we ever made, the piano.
Dennis O'Rourke. That was very sad. Very sad.
Yeah, he was a kind of a special pupil of mine because of his talent, his artistic ability. Quiet! Cunis! Cunis at once! If I have to come down to you, Moran, I will lift you, I swear.
What did I do? I did nothing!
Yeah, yeah. Dennis had a great gift for music. I mean, I don't think anyone disputes that. But he was a good lad, too. He was quiet and gentle, not like some of these messers. Morin, Quirk, outside now.
Oh, that's not fair.
Yeah, my passion is music. And I encouraged Dennis all the way. I encouraged him all the way, and he got to the top. Nearly. Nearly got to the top.
In the case of the O'Rourkes, they had hoped to select for dwarfism. About 3% of pre-implantation diagnosis has been used for this sort of selection, selecting for deafness or dwarfism or some other profile so that genetic characteristics matched the parents. Normally this would be a very successful procedure, but in the case of the O'Rourkes it was unsuccessful.
Yeah, we all had to leave the house when Dennis was practising. Suited me fine. I'd be in the gym or playing soccer or whatever I was into at the time. Mam now was very protective of Dennis and his music. I don't think we minded in that sense. You know, fair play to him, he could bang out the tunes. It's funny though, when you're a dwarf, I'm not saying poor me or whatever, I just get on with it. I'm proud of who I am and me family, but when you get home and this fella, this tall fella is there playing classical music on the piano in the sitting room, it was like he landed from outer space or something, even though he was me brother.
Ah, yeah, we had to adapt a bit of furniture for him, but sure, you wouldn't mind that. There's always some problem with something, but sure, what family doesn't have that? Sure, we're all different. I'm different, so is Doreen, but it's all about how you see it.
In some ways, I would have been happier that Dennis was just a bit more... that he...
Ah, Doreen, that's all. If he was born blue, with polka dots all over him, he might still be here, but that's all speculation.
It was hard on him being different from his brothers and his sisters and his mum and his dad.
I thought he was happier in a way because it made him special.
But then he wasn't special.
Outside, no, but to us...
And we forget that he may have...
Dory.
He may have wanted to be like us more than we thought.
Ah, Dennis was great crack. Everyone thinks because we're serious about our music that we're all boring farts who talk piano morning, noon and night. Not true. Half the heads in the academy are mad drinkers. We'd have a lock-in in Kennedy's every weekend, like serious sessions. But I met Dennis now, when was it? We must have been only 13 or 14, We just hit it off straight away. We were both taking exams across the road there, and Dennis starts with the funny voices and doing his Simpsons impersonations, and, well, we were off. That was it.
Pick your nose somewhere else, Noonan. No one wants to see that here. Yes, yes. I gave Dennis lots of attention. I helped him with his studies, and I never asked for thanks for that. I was happy to do it because it was easy. So many years of working with talentless eejits like Carmody there. And finally, someone with a real sensitivity for the piano, a passion and a grace. He trusted my judgment too. Even when he was being taught by the best of the best at the academy, he'd still phone and he'd still want me to come to all the competitions. If I said okay, if I gave the thumbs up, then yeah, that was it.
Mr. O'Driscoll was very good to Dennis.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He helped him to get into the academy, and he spent hours and hours teaching him and advising him and travelling to concerts.
Seamus never had much time for him.
O'Driscoll was a... I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on air, but he was a complete gobshite. No one had any respect for him in the school, and as far as I'm aware, he's the most talentless music teacher in the world. He was blessed when Dennis walked into his world, and that's a fact.
Dennis's family were a decent, hard-working family who just happened to be dwarfs. Dennis was unlucky in that he didn't fit in there. I definitely think it played on his mind, yeah. Like, one time when we were, you know, very, very pissed, this would have been after Lockin and Kennedy's, Dennis confides in me. He confided in me that sometimes he was lonely.
Dennis was very lonely. I do feel he was lonely at times.
I think it's generally accepted that musical ability in a human being is the result of a number of factors. Cultural, economic, and perhaps genetic. A lot of work is being done on just how strong the genetic factors are, and it will be interesting to see if it's true that anyone can sing.
Playing an instrument is a lonely business.
He wasn't lonely. He was quiet. There's a difference. He had his family, his brothers and sisters, and his music friends. They were very good to him. Very good to him.
That's the only recording I have of Dennis O'Rourke. Age 16, playing Chopin's Nocturne Opus 9, number 2. That's his whole style, right there. For all he learnt after, they could never improve on that. You can hear his voice there, too.
Yes, that's it. Grand, I think I got all that, so, right?
Dennis was always going to go to college, and I suppose it was just a case of which one. In fact, we all went to third level, so I suppose that's kind of an achievement in itself. I went up north to study, so I didn't really see much of him during those years. He kept himself to himself, but we were always there for each other, you know?
If you look at college, that was a great achievement for Dennis. Now, does that say that what we did at the start was right or wrong? You tell me.
We felt there was a culture.
Our culture.
Will you let me finish?
Dwarfs, small people, midgets, whatever you want to call us.
Don't be so...
Well, that's what people...
The particular type of dwarfism in this case is called achondroplasia and is caused by a defect in a gene on chromosome 4. It is an autosomal dominant condition, so one defective copy of the gene is enough to cause restricted height. Pre-implantation testing can be used to screen embryos for the presence of a defective copy of the gene.
There is a culture there, a community, and it would have been nice for us if Dennis had been born into that. But he was different. There's no denying that, so he lived his own life. And college was a part of that.
College? Yeah, massive crack. Dennis and I started the same college, the same course, the same day, literally. Music, yeah. But you're... What else would we do? And piano every evening and all weekend, we were immersed in it. And when we weren't bashing the keys, we were down in the pints, what?
As far as I could make out, Dennis kept himself to himself at college. He had friends, but they were music friends, and they were all... Well, with all the practice, you couldn't do a lot of socialising. Once I asked him if he was... You know, if there was a mop or something, and he told me there was, or there had been, or something... But he could have been lying. You wouldn't know.
Before Dennis left, I took him aside and we had a chat. I could tell he wasn't sure of where he was going, what he wanted to do. He was sitting there at that desk, the desk that Brady is now desecrating by carving his name into it. He was self-conscious because I'd kept him back after class, and I suppose he thought he might get slagged. I was asking him about the mocks and how they went. Very well. Music can do that. The Mozart effect, you know? You know how listening to Mozart increases your spatial and temporal reasoning temporarily. And, well, Dennis was great at maths and he loved opera. So his languages were very good too because he just had an interest in knowing what those words meant and how they related to music. Anyway, we started talking and I was all ready to give him the speech. You know, don't waste your talent, stay true to what you love, listen to your heart, blah, blah. But he said something that just stopped me in my tracks. He said, I'll miss being the best. I'm worried about not being the best anymore. I wonder if it's all I've got. So I just told him that he'd always be the best here and that if he ever needed anything, he could come here and I'd help him. Well, he did come back looking for help eventually.
I remember he was at the stage where he was getting tutored by a very famous pianist who shall remain nameless. This was at the academy now. And I have to say, I was jealous. I was pissed off. I felt, why was he getting all this attention and I wasn't? And sure, he had some technical aspects to his game that I didn't, and possibly he had more of a feeling for some composers than I did, but I thought, I have strengths in other areas. And I did. I do. But because he could play Chopin with a certain... then I wasn't even considered. We didn't see much of each other for about 3 years after that. We didn't exactly fall out, just that he was busy and I was busy, and I suppose neither of us made the effort. I worked very well with Dennis. Dennis could play. He had a good quality on the piano, a very good feeling. His touch was very good, his sensibility, musicality. I think presence was a problem sometimes. Sometimes I felt good. The music is the music, but where is personality? Dennis was very faithful, but this brings you so far, and I wondered, is this enough? I was worried for Dennis. Sometimes I am listening and I think, where are you? Who are you? Show me.
I'm glad Dennis was on his own in college and after. He even got a flat in town.
Keep of a place.
The first place wasn't great, but he was earning money and I think he wanted a bit of independence.
Couldn't wait to get away.
He was...
ashamed of us?
Lost. He needed to...
find himself, please.
Always here for a family occasion, as he was.
I remember him getting very drunk one Christmas.
That's because you kept asking him to play the piano.
Play a few tunes. How hard is that?
Dennis hardly drank at all. And then...
he's too good to play for us. Is that it?
What you wanted and what he wanted were two different things.
A few tunes.
Exactly.
What?
I really didn't connect with Dennis when I first met him. He was at the bar in the concert hall. And my friend knew him from music circles, and she introduced me. He seemed sort of not there. Like his mind or his soul was elsewhere. Like he was halfway between this world and some other world. Sorry.
Well, when I met this girl, I thought, what the... she was... Catherine was a knockout. She was... I mean... I may be a dwarf, but I'm a red-blooded male, and I know a babe when I... I was surprised because Dennis was so quiet, and here he was with this beauty, and I'm thinking, God love you, girl, you're not going to get much crack there. I don't know, maybe he was outrageous in the second. Maybe that was a...
Catherine brought us back together in a way, me and Dennis. I knew her through mutual friends, and once they started going out, it happened that we all ended up in Kennedy's one night. There I was, three sheets to the wind. And there's Dennis with Catherine. Lucky bastard. I go over and I don't know what possessed me. I think I was going to insult Dennis or flirt with Catherine or something, but I'm too drunk when my words fail me. Can't speak, right? Feel like a fool. So Dennis, God be good to him wherever he is, saves the day. There's some lovely muck down here, he says. Monty Python's the Holy Grail. We used to quote it a lot when we were younger. So straight away we say simultaneously, what I object to is you automatically treating me as an inferior. Next thing you know, we're swapping lines and it's all bloody peasant and watery tart and we're off best of friends again and stayed that way for a very long time. And the other week, I really missed Dennis. I stuck the DVD on, and the character who says those lines, his name is Dennis. Two N's. That's...
I suppose Dennis was halfway between everything. Sometimes I think his whole life... he was living with Chopin a lot of the time, and sometimes with me. He was between his family's culture and music culture. Who knows? Maybe the embryo they chose for him was halfway between the one they wanted and the one they didn't. He did feel funny that he was a mistake. No, that's wrong. He never said that. I'm just guessing.
Catherine was a lovely girl.
As she was and she wasn't.
I liked her.
All the men liked her.
What's that supposed to mean?
You know very well what that means.
Tony, for God's sake.
He was mad about her.
He was.
Though he'd never say it was how he was with her.
See it in his eyes.
Are you a mind reader now, are you? It was his actions. Little courtesies. I taught him that. He knew how to treat a woman. Lovely, Dennis.
In his eyes is where I saw it. Stop loving him. Come on, come on.
I thought he was very aloof to start off with. Nothing to say for himself. And very bland in every way. His clothes were just... There was a lot of work to be done there, let me tell you. But then my friend Katie took me to see him play. It was a lunchtime recital in the concert hall, the John Field Room. I think he'd won some award the year before and this was the prize. So it was a special occasion for him. Well, two things happened that day that made me see him in a different light. A different light entirely.
I went to the concert, yeah, yeah. The prize was big news in the school and it was enough for the principal to give me a half day. Coming through Stephen's Green, I was sweating a bit because it was a sunny day, so I took my jacket off. I was folding it over my arm when I saw them go by. The whole family. Fair play to them, I thought. Fair play, supporting their son. I'd had this notion of taking Dennis to the Hilton across the road for a cup of tea and picking over his performance note for note, but I knew that wasn't going to happen now.
Mum and Dad agonised about that concert. Stay at home and Dennis will think we didn't care. Go and risk turning a big moment in his life into a... Well, not a freak show, but... They didn't want it to become all about us. In the end, I told them they had to risk it.
I think Dennis appreciated us being there. So we had to go. And we enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Dennis played beautifully. The applause was... I think people loved it. They really loved it. I loved it anyway.
Yeah, he was glad we came, wasn't he?
He never said. We all went for dinner in the Hilton across the road. It was lovely.
Very nice.
I was sitting in the front row with my friend. The chairs were arranged in a semicircle around the piano and it had this lovely, relaxed formality. Big grand room and then just some chairs laid out. And a gorgeous, shiny black Steinway plunked in the middle of the parquet floor. Then Dennis comes out and he was very serious and dressed in a really nice suit. Scrubs up well, I thought. He held himself very upright, but his arms were so relaxed, like everything was flowing from his centre, up his spine, down his arms and through his fingers. That was, for obvious reasons, quite sexy. But that wasn't it. No, that's not the thing that made me... Dennis got a lot of criticism for not being there, for bringing little or no personality to his playing. I understand where those people are coming from, why they thought that. But to me, all I saw was Dennis's personality. His life made sense in front of that piano. After the concert, Katie was getting her coat and I was waiting in the foyer. At the other end, I could see Dennis, and he was surrounded by five dwarfs, his family. And you could see him laughing and joking with them, but I sensed something then that I still think was true. There was a feeling of awkwardness from all of them that they just couldn't help. He was so much taller than them, and he just stuck out like a sore thumb with them all surrounding him there. Over the years, I got to know Donal and Doreen very well, and I got on pretty well with them, but... Oh, I shouldn't even be mentioning it. But that image made a huge impression on me, because I could see some discomfort in him. No, that's wrong. I may be projecting that discomfort. It may have been my own.
I never went to that concert, so I can't say. I really can't say what it was like. The reviews were pretty good, but they mentioned his lack of presence a lot, and that must have hurt. It's funny to look back at that, because We turned those opportunities into life or death moments, and really it was just a one-off recital in front of 100 or so people. Who cares? If Dennis were around now, we'd laugh about it. Big deal. But he's not around, and he never had any more recitals.
I loved that concert. If I hadn't gone, I'd be kicking myself now. I really would. It's hard to believe he'll never do another one. Hard to believe he didn't do another one. And it was a nice thing for the family. We were all together and we had a big meal and Mum and Dad were very proud. It was great. We have some nice photographs of that day. Nice memories. And it wasn't long after that that Dennis met Catherine.
That photograph now is him in Peru or somewhere with Catherine. He's smiling, which I like. You can tell he's having a good time. That's a postcard from Colombia. Now, why he wanted to go to Colombia, I'll never know. Apparently, it's a great place. That's another postcard from Wales when he went to study there. And that didn't last long.
He was a homebird at the end of the day for all his travel.
He was and he wasn't.
True, he was and he wasn't.
That's a picture of his communion. Little suit on him. He looks like such a little man there, all serious. Sometimes he had that look that you'd think someone was just about to belt him.
I think the benefits of pre-implantation diagnosis are clear. You can scan for diseases. You can give parents the best chance of conceiving. And you can save lives through Save Your Siblings. But I suppose there are ethical concerns. For instance, sex selection is a big issue, and selecting for or against disabilities raises concerns too. I think it would be very dangerous to suggest that pre-implantation diagnosis is a cure for all ills. The medical profession is not out to create designer babies immune to every disease, and everyone is susceptible to environmental and psychological, as well as biological factors.
I think we were together only 6 months when we moved in with each other. I had to move out of my place, and rents were so dear, and we were sharing a bedroom, so... We were madly in love, madly. Dennis was so quiet that I had to spend a lot of time working on him to get him to open up. But when those little moments came, little flashes when I could see who he was, then I didn't want to be with anyone else.
Once he met Catherine, met isn't the right word. She was a heat-seeking missile and she took him down. That's what happened. I'd say Dennis was delighted to be taken down. I mean, she's a cracker, but you have to take the rough with the smooth, as the dad says. Put it this way, Dennis was her project and she was determined it was going to be successful.
Catherine, lovely woman. Very good for Dennis, very good. Dennis adored her, and his life came up when he met her. Lovely apartment, lots of socialising, great friends, lots of wine and brunch, and just great fun, great fun. And we'd started a successful little business providing high-quality musical presentations for weddings, 21sts, you name it. Great. So we were earning and trying for the big time piano-wise too. Great.
Dennis was earning good money from that. By the looks of things, very good.
Which was great.
Took the pressure on me, I can tell you.
But I worried that he might be neglecting the thing that he really loved.
I'm sure, who knows? He was doing all the lessons, all the study in the world.
It's just a feeling I had. It was funny to see him so different.
He was happy.
Yeah, he was and he wasn't.
Jesus, he had money. That was a great thing.
It was money for old rope, really. Play a few tunes, look good in a suit. It was easy. Lent a bit of class to the most tasteless occasion. Dennis was delighted with himself. We used to have a few drinks along the way. I mean, you couldn't be completely pissed going in there, but a vodka or two before a party really made it much more bearable. And Dennis then would come out of himself, and people loved him. Loved him. Very funny. Funny man. Very funny.
It was around that time that Dennis came to me.
Sir.
The natives are restless. I brought him into the staff room and we had a cup of tea. There was stuff on his mind. Everything was going well for him, but he was... He actually said to me he was lost. He mentioned a few things. Playing piano for parties, that was getting him down. Living away from home. But the thing that was really bothering him, in my opinion, was the criticism about his playing. This was coming from a number of sources. His teachers, someone he'd studied with in Wales, and, of course, the review from that recital. What they were all saying was, bring your personality to bear on the material. He was playing beautifully, but it was obvious he wasn't going anywhere with a dry, sort of technical rendition of the work. He asked me that day, and I told him...
He was worried about this thing, this criticism, and I told him to ignore it.
I thought I was doing the right thing here. I really did. I asked, was he happy in his family? He said he was. I asked, did he ever feel uncomfortable with the difference? He said, no, he loved his family. Well, I said, maybe you should travel, see a bit of the world. It just came into my head to say that. I thought it was the right thing for him to do.
Dennis didn't even have a passport. He didn't have a suitcase. He had a rucksack that he had from Scouts or something. He said, that'll do. The thing was, I really wanted to travel. I was delighted. But there was something in the back of my mind saying, this is ridiculous. Travelling around the world to find yourself is ridiculous. But I loved him, so I went.
We were never really a family for travel. I mean, I'm happy where I am. I know the level of abuse or kindness I'm going to find here in the gym or at work. I know the people here and I'm comfortable with that. You see stuff in the papers about people being treated terribly abroad for being different or looking different. And Now, I have a thick skin. You have to have when you're at the wharf. But I didn't want the hassle. Dennis was a different case, obviously.
He came over here for dinner the weekend before he took the flight. The pair of them did.
She was in great form, I remember. Done up to the nines.
She was not.
Wearing a dress and all.
Why wouldn't she wear a dress?
I'm only saying what... She was wearing a dress, that's all.
But Dennis was anxious. He was.
I'm not saying anything.
He had never even been on a plane before.
No.
We had bacon and cabbage.
What? So they don't want to know what we had for dinner.
That was what Dennis liked.
Well, that's what he told us.
And he ate everything that was there. Like he'd never get it again.
Darling, will you stop?
Before Dennis left, we'd started playing jazz in clubs and at the parties too. I bumped into Catherine recently. Awkward. And I mentioned that, and she looked at me as if I had two heads. But I have a recording of the two of us playing jazz. We recorded it because we were jamming. We were a bit stoned, and it seemed like a good idea to record the session that night and play it back in the morning. Well, it was rubbish. Absolute rubbish. A lot of giggling and very little good music. See what I mean? Awful. But that shouldn't take away from the fact that Dennis was a really good jazz musician. A natural improviser, too. There was a lot of anger in his playing that you'd never get from a Chopin.
The first few months were really great. We were in South America and we were going to spend 3 months there, 6 months working in Australia and then 3 months travelling in Asia. But then Dennis got sick.
The way Catherine tells it, Dennis couldn't hack the altitude at Machu Picchu and got very sick. He was chewing coca leaves and all that, but according to her, he just got very weak and was in bed for about a month.
Altitude sickness.
This is from Brazil. Stuck in bed because I'm sick and I'm a delicate flower. There are worse places to be. Catherine looking after me. Really need to find a piano here. It's probably beside their one horse.
Over the next few months, he got a lot better. A lot better. He was up and walking around. He even found a piano and got friendly with the owner. He'd insist on playing for hours, even though he needed his rest. And, well, I'm sure he had long outstayed his welcome. Eventually, he was okay to resume the trip. and we ended up in Buenos Aires.
Shh, do your work. Now, this postcard arrived from Argentina. It has only one word written on it. Piazzolla. I took that as a good sign. I really did.
Catherine says he was in great form when she left for Australia.
He just didn't like the idea of flying.
I understand that. He wasn't fully recovered.
He wasn't.
For all she says, he wasn't well.
All the viruses you could get in the Amazon or whatever, all the viruses in the world there.
It could have been dormant, is what we think.
Yeah, he was never strong like the rest of us. His height made him more susceptible to a cold or a cough. Whenever he'd be taken ill, I'd always say, "The air is cleaner down here." He had a great laugh out of that.
He did.
There's no getting away from the fact he was ill. We know that. Now, Catherine says he was grand when she left. Okay. Why did he not call home then? Why not?
He just couldn't or wouldn't travel. He said the very thought made him ill. And he told me to go on. I wanted to go on. I had to. I had flights booked. My visas were running out. I needed to go. You could say he wasn't completely well, but he was up and about. He was going to gigs, eating, sleeping. He was the one telling me to go. So, I went.
Catherine had told me that Dennis was playing in a tango bar when she left. That sounds about right. I would love that. The weather, the women, the music, fantastic.
It's hard to know what he was thinking. I wonder, was the visa a thing? How would he stay in the country if he didn't get another visa?
Well, that's it, yeah. How could he stay? Did he have a plan? Was he just staying on because he couldn't fly, or was there something else? The problem with the whole business was that it took a long time before we even knew something was wrong.
I knew.
That's right, you did, but you had no proof.
I just felt something wasn't right.
You did, you had a feeling.
He wouldn't listen to me.
Sure, up to that, all we got was a postcard every couple of weeks, if that. Not so much as a phone call.
I should have asked him to call me once a week.
Well, there's no... Look, that was the way it was. If we were even on email.
Seamus had got an email.
He had.
It wasn't a breakup, but it felt like one. Even though Dennis had said he would join me whenever he felt up to it. To be honest, I was angry with him. We'd put so much planning into this trip, and now he was backing out of it because he just wouldn't get on a plane. And he was distant, obsessing about his music and staying out very late in tango bars. So when I arrived in Australia, I didn't expect to hear from him. And I certainly wasn't going to be the first to get in touch. I didn't have email access in the first few places I stayed. And when I did finally check and see that there was nothing from him, I was more pissed off than worried. But about a week later, I called Doreen.
The email I got was nothing. It was staying on here in Buenos Aires for a while. Catherine gone on ahead to Australia. Tell Mam and Dad not to be worrying. He could be an awful ages sometimes. That's exactly what would worry them. So I said nothing. Dad made a big deal out of that, but the police in Buenos Aires said it wouldn't have made a bit of difference to finding him, so...
I heard pretty quickly something was up. Catherine's friend told me his family were worried and there was talk with the police and the embassy in Argentina. I tried emailing him and I offered what help I could to the family, the police, but it seems he had disappeared and no one knew where he was. It's a mystery.
Myself and Dad flew out there and it was difficult. We were well outside our comfort zone. We didn't know anyone, didn't speak the language, and no one took us seriously.
The embassy couldn't have been more helpful. They took care of everything. They translated for us, spoke with the police, organised accommodation, but it got a bit frustrating and I was finding it hard because I had nothing to tell Doreen.
You were doing your best, I knew that.
Wasn't getting anywhere, though. We've nothing to go on.
Catherine arrived a week later.
Oh, she was able to retrace their steps. Shows the hotel they stayed in, the place he played piano, that kind of thing.
Some people remembered him.
They did. They remembered his playing, how tall he was.
There didn't seem to be any leads, and even though the embassy did a lot of work, the police were a bit lost. We tried to do a bit of detective work ourselves. We had photos and we handed them around. We tried to second guess what he would have done next, but nothing. The police think he's dead.
I didn't want to believe the police, but 10 years later, I have to accept what they're saying is true. They see it a lot, and even though there's no... Well, they never found anything. So...
When I think of them now, I don't reach for Chopin or Beethoven or even jazz. When I think of him, I put on Piazzolla, and that seems just about right. And my mind wanders a bit, and I imagine he's still out there somewhere.
I always say that his birth was traumatic for us in some ways. But the end has been very difficult because there is no end.
He'll be 37 in October.
And we'll be celebrating it, lighting a candle in the doorway for him too.
He's always welcome home. I think he's out there somewhere. And I'd like him to know that he's wanted at home. And I'd hate to think...
We'd hate to think he didn't feel wanted. Because he was.
I have to admit that towards the end of our relationship, I was really frustrated with Dennis and his kind of otherworldly thing, his inability to be in the moment and really engage. I think he was a lovely person and a great artist, a great musician. But being honest, he was never really there, you know? And now he...
ATCG. They are the letters of the genetic code. And together, they make up a language that can describe anything.
Dennis's family believe that he's still alive, or at least they're not going to give up hope till a body's found, so... Even though logic tells me otherwise, sometimes I'll close my eyes and I'll imagine Dennis sitting behind the piano in a bar in some remote corner of Argentina, and he's playing tango music with a band and improvising around some famous tune, and people are dancing and drinking and laughing, and it's warm and he's happy. He's far away from Dublin and everybody he knew here, and he's happy.